We have several of our staff here tonight, and I want to tell you who they are. This is Judge Ojeda and his wife. Mrs. Ojeda is one of our lawyers in our ministry here in Florida. And Judge Ojeda and his precious wife, Susan, started out with us as interns. And we watched them go all the way through their legal training and all. And now he's a judge here in Florida. You want to treat him good, he can put you in jail, okay? So I just tell you that, be careful. Also up here is Michael Adams of our staff. Michael is a Pensacola graduate and has been with us, give me the number of years, 15 years. And he has now got his MBA, his Master's in Business Administration. He's got his earned doctorate and his law degree. And he's been called of God to come and be with our ministry, and we're thrilled to have Michael. In the back here, you know this gentleman. He's a member of this church, Jim Coates and Miss Vivian. I don't know of a man that I hold in higher esteem than Jim Coates. I love this man. He's a great man of God. And if I stood up here all night, I couldn't tell you all the things he's done for the Christian Law Association. Now, he will tell you, I've never done anything. And he's lying where he sits when he says that. My precious friend is just humble. But boy, what a great, great man, and how God has used him all over America. And one of the things I love about calling Brother Jim is as much as I encourage him, he far more encourages me. He's got the joy of the Lord in his heart, and we love the Coats. Over here is Steve Cluth and his wife Karen. Hold your hand up, Steve, so they know who you are. They've been with us now going on 25 years, and Brother Steve has traveled with me around the world, but all over America for sure. Please pray for our ministry. How many of you have seen things in America you never dreamed you'd see in your lifetime? Can I tell you what we're encountering now on a daily basis, People calling saying, they just told me that if I let somebody teach my child that they won't go to heaven unless they believe in Jesus Christ, that's child abuse and they'll take my child from me. The simple, child-appropriate gospel message is suddenly being deemed child abuse. And we're defending these people all across America. Others are being told, businessmen are being told, if you go to a church that doesn't permit your child to do gender exploration to see if they're a boy or a girl or none of the above or whatever they want to be, or maybe all of the above, you can't have a place in our corporate company. And these are huge companies coming down. Suddenly, the faith of Jesus Christ is under attack as never before. Please pray for America and pray for what's happening. Now, I don't tell you that to be discouraging, but we need to be careful. How many of you figured out the news tells you what they want to tell you? Doesn't matter what you watch. They're all upset about something, and they want you upset about what they're upset about. And yet the Word of God stands clear, and the Word of God is the hope. I tell everybody, the hope of America is the gospel and the local church. Now, you want to do something to help our nation, go to your pastor and say, preacher, give me something to do. Yeah, but Brother Gibbs, if I do that, he'll give me something to do. That's the whole idea behind it. Please get active in your local church. Now, that's the hope of this land. I hope this isn't true here, but in most Bible-believing churches, way less than 10% of the people ever do anything. Only about 6% ever hand out a gospel tract. And less than 4% faithfully witness. And then we wonder why America's in the shape she's in. We've never had nicer looking tracts. We've never had better tools to use. And we've never used them less. Please go to your pastor and say, preacher, I want to be a frontline Christian. I want to take a stand for Christ. And your preacher will help you with that. I'm sorry to limp up here. I came up the stairs here in the back. A while back here, I broke two bones in my leg. And they've been giving me just fits. And it's a terrible dilemma how it happened. I was walking across the front of a church, and they had a little riser they built This was in San Diego, a little riser for the deaf minister to stand on, and I didn't see it. And I tripped on it and broke two bones in my leg. And I tell everybody, you talk about a predicament. Here I am, a lawyer with broken bones and nobody to sue. Okay? That's not a good situation. Turn in your Bible, please, to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. America's had some, listen carefully, stellar blackouts. Because of our great electrification programs all over America, we have electricity everywhere. When we have a blackout, it's normally stunning. The largest one was in 1965, when in the Northeast, 30 million people were suddenly without power for days on end. New York City went black. Can you imagine? People in elevators were stuck there for days. People in hospitals, in operating rooms, lost their ability to complete the surgeries. And they were supposed to have automatics that kicked in, but due to the nature of the blackout, most of the automatics did nothing. Airplanes coming into New York, LaGuardia and Kennedy and Newark, suddenly New York disappeared. There were no lights. And men flying in, they recommended at that time and think that there were as many as 600 flights held because of that. And they said, we were looking at the city and it was gone. A power lack, a power outage. We just had one here in Texas last year. 4 million people lived for weeks without power. Here's Texas, they produce more natural gas and oil than any other state in America. And they lost their power. And people say, how can that happen? We're so dependent on electricity. We just expect when we flick a switch, it will be there. Well, the most dangerous thing is not you losing electricity. The most dangerous power lack is in a Christian. When a child of God gets comfortable without God's power. When a child of God gets comfortable, quote, living the Christian life just in their ability. Just in what they can accomplish. And there's a power outage. If I were to ask you tonight, give me your notion of how much of God's power you have. I wonder if you could say, oh, I can't do anything without it. Well, that's what Jesus said. Without me, ye can do, what's the next word? Nothing. But somehow we just get comfortable giving it our best shot, doing our best deed. And we're doing it without his power. Now read with me what Paul said to them in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And remember, he's writing to Christians who are hiding in catacombs. They're under severe persecution. For being a follower of Christ, they're being beheaded. They're fed to lions, being burned at the stake, skinned alive. Many, like Christ, were crucified. And to them he writes and says this, and I, brethren, chapter 2, verse 1, 1 Corinthians, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in, what's the next word? Weakness. Can I make a comment here? Do you realize God is attracted to weakness? If he weren't, he could only be attracted to himself. God is all powerful. God is attracted to weakness. And Paul said, I came to you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of, what did he say he demonstrated? Power. And Mom, I wonder if the kids would say, Mom's got God's power. Dad's got God's power. I wonder if the grandkids would say, Grandma and Grandpa, I'm telling you, they have God's power. You can't hide it, and you can't fake it. Do we have it? He said, I came to you wanting to show the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the, say the next three words, power of God. How's your power load? And how comfortable are we with a blackout? I wonder if my staff traveling with me would say, Brother Gibbs has God's power. I promise you, I can't do anything that pleases him without this power. I love your pastor. What a great man. A great man of God. But with all his experience, he'd be a good fake. He would know what to do and how to do it. And all of a sudden, we get good at faking it. We don't have God's power. Now, God says, I want you to have my power. Turn to Colossians chapter 1. Turn to Colossians chapter 1. And I want you to look at what God says about his power. Verse 11. This is the promise of God to you and me. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. Now please note, he didn't say strengthened with much might. He didn't say strengthened with great might. He says strengthened with all might. Whoa. You say, I just don't think I can do this. And God says, I'm going to give you the power to do it. Whatever God commands you to do, he gives you the ability to do. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Have you got that power? Have I got? Look at what he has to say in 1 Peter. Check back to 1 Peter with me, if you would. 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us unto glory and virtue. God said, I've got divine power. Now, if you're here and you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can't have this power. This comes to those who know Jesus Christ. This was written unto those, and look at what he says in verse 1, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us, through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. This is written for that purpose. Whereby are given unto us, verse 4, exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world for lust. Whatever God commands, he gives the ability to do. Now these men did such a great job up here. But don't you forget, unsaved men could have stood up there and sang that. And if they've got the art and the talent and the experience, they could pull it off. But they can't do it with God's power. Did these men stand up here and just sing, or did they have the power of God in what they say? Unsaved people can stand up and deliver sermons. They do it every week. Am I doing this in my power, or is it by God's power? Right now in America, I'm watching people absolutely upset beyond words. Oh, what's happening politically, what's happening with all of the things for the faith, that this is just a nightmare what we're living in. Wait just a minute. You have divine power. Divine power. Now I want you to write five things down and we're going to be done. Five things that show this power. And five things that every child of God should want to have in their life because they're all commanded by Scripture. Here's number one. By God's power, you have the ability to love even your enemies. You have the ability to love even your enemies. 1 Corinthians 13, the Bible says, now abideth faith, hope, charity, that's the word for love, agape, these three. But the greatest of these, greater than faith, greater than hope, but the greatest of these is love. How's your love life? Do you love your enemies? Now, how many of you figured out the world's full of irritating people? How many of you know that? How many of you got some irritating people in your family? How many of you sitting next to one right now, right? Oh, listen, they're everywhere. And I don't care. They all want to know me. And they all want to irritate me. And you know what God says? I'm commanding you, love your enemies. Love your enemies. Do you really love your enemies? You say, the Bible says that? Turn to Matthew chapter 5. I want you to mark this verse in your scriptures. Matthew chapter 5. Verse 43. You've heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. Now, there's the world's gold standard right there. You treat me nice, I'll treat you nice. You be good to me, I'll be good to you. But you treat me like dirt, you better duck. Because you just went on the enemy list. But I say unto you, say out loud in unison the next three words, love your enemies. Do you? Do you really love your enemies? Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Or is there a power outage? Do we have the power to do that? There's a lady involved in politics, and you all know her. She's on TV all the time. And she's just irritating. I mean, I sit there and I'm like, why God lets you suck breath, I can't figure out. You know what a pastor friend of mine did? He's a pastor in California. He went to see the lady. And when he got the appointment, he went in and she said, what do you want? What do you want? I only got a minute or two. What do you want? He said, I just come to tell you I love you. She said, you what? He said, from the depths of my heart, he's standing there with his precious wife, we love you. Now, we don't agree with anything you're doing. But our faith commands us to love our enemies and to bless them. She said, get my staff in here. I want them to hear this. She said, no one has ever in my life said this. When's the last time you went to the enemies and said, I love you? And I want to bless you. Brother Gibbs, I just can't. You don't know what they did to me. You don't know what my family did. You don't know what that mate did. You're right, I don't. And then you can't. Without him, you can't do anything. But you have divine power. But you got to be willing to turn it on. The fact that it's there doesn't mean you've got that. You got to say, I'm going to obey, and God will give the power. She said, I want you to say it again. Jim, you know this, Pastor. He said, I love you. She held her phone up. She said, I want to record this. Say it again. He said, I love you and my God loves you. And here's a gospel track how you can have this love too. Right now we got a massive power outage in America. We love our friends and we're just roiled at our enemies. And God says, I'm commanding you to stop it. I'm commanding you to love your enemies. Now, Brother Gibbs, this makes no sense. It doesn't have to make sense. It's the command of your Savior. Straight from his lips when he said, love your enemies. Well, I love them my way. I'm still letting them live. No, that's not it. You're commanded to be kind. By the way, you're not walking in the Spirit. Jesus said the fruit of the Spirit is love. It's the first word. If you're not loving your enemies, you're nowhere near God. Because we're commanded to have this love. We better not have a power outage. Write the second thing down. Number one, we have the power to love. And by the way, I don't know who in your life is the irritant. I can only promise you there are people everywhere. And I've discovered in travel, boy, people, when you get tired and you're traveling, people can get under your skin. And all of a sudden, I mean, I've got to deal with these lawyers and calls I had to make this afternoon. And we're set to appear before the Ohio Senate and House on Tuesday. And all the things that are being thrown at us. And all of a sudden, I got to say, God, help me not to have a power outage. I want to love my enemies. Write the second one down. He wants you to have the power to love, number two. He wants you to have the power to forgive. Mark chapter 11, verse 25 and 26. Can I remind you? Jesus said, if you don't forgive, I'm not going to forgive you. You want to put a tourniquet on your prayer line? You know why most Christians have no power in prayer? Because they won't forgive. Jesus said, if you don't do this, your prayer's going nowhere. I was in Pennsylvania. We were representing and helping some Amish and Mennonite people. And suddenly, and many of you saw this on the news, suddenly there was a catastrophe. A crazy man broke into their Christian school and machine gunned the kids for no reason. They'd never done one thing to him. He didn't know any of them. And he slaughtered their teacher and 8 of the 11 students. Senseless. Immediately the parents came to get their children. And simultaneously the news showed up. And here's these heart-sickened parents. And they walked up to this Amish man. They had him on camera. And they said, how do you explain this? He said, I can't. Well, what are you going to do now? He said, I'm going to forgive. He said, you're what? He said, I'm going to forgive. It's commanded. They said, how can you forgive? You can't do. He said, you're right, I can't, but my God gives me the power to. Have you got the power to forgive the inexcusable, the insane? All of a sudden, everybody came in and said, say that to us. Nobody talks like this. He said, that's because most people don't have my God. I love what he said next. He said, I'm a very little man, but I got a very big God. And this did not catch my God by surprise. Whoa. Wouldn't he be around you say, that man knows how to love. That couple knows how to forgive. Yeah, but Brother Gibbs, they're not sorry. Let me help you here. Nowhere in the Bible does it say forgive if they're sorry. They're putting the nails in the hands of Jesus. They're not sorry for anything. Not going to stop. You know what he said, Father? What's the next word? Forgive them. We don't forgive because they stop or they're sorry. We forgive because it's commanded and we have the power of God to do it. Write number three down. The power to love, the power to forgive. The power to give thanks, number three. The scripture, 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Now, this is not fake thanks. This is heartfelt thanks. When's the last time you thank God for the things that are aggravating you? For disappointments? For things you wished were turning out different? By the way, when after the last election did you give thanks? Well, yeah, but I didn't get what I wanted. I didn't either. But Jesus said, in everything give thanks. And then he says this, if you don't do this, you're not in the will of God. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. Whoa. I've met with people in foreign lands where they get killed for just going to church. And I tell them, boy, I'm so sorry you're living under that. They say, yeah, but we're giving thanks. We walked in here tonight without a casual concern because we have the liberty to do this. But God says, I want you to give thanks for everything, everything. My wife has helped me on this a great deal. She said, let's make a list of what we're not thankful for, and then let's get thankful. Whew. I said, honey, I'm just trying to forget about it. That's not giving thanks. Wow. How many of you have children? Hold your hand up. Yeah. How many of you love them more than you could ever say? How many of you want to kill them on occasion? Sure. You know what I warn you? Kids are God's little spies. And grandchildren are God's super spies. They're watching. And they know if you forgive, and they know if you give thanks. And they come to church and hear all of this, but then they go home and they say, where'd it go? There's a power outage at home. Oh, listen. Now you say, well, Brother Gibbs, move quickly because I'm perfect at all of this. Then you pray for me, will you? Because I have to remind myself, I'm commanded to love even my enemies. I'm commanded to forgive, even if they're never going to stop. I'm commanded by the grace of God to give thanks for everything. And I have the power of God to do it. Now, I know you're a wonderful pastor. He would do this for you if he could, but he can't. The only person who can do this in your life for you is you. And the devil doesn't care what you hear right now as long as you don't do one thing with it. He just wants to get you out of here tonight in the same shape you came in. In fact, I think the devil loves it when we forget. We're commanded not to be hearers of the word, but doers. He said, don't you dare be a hearer only, but doers of the word. Write number four down. The power to have joy. The power to have joy. I love what the men sang. Fit right on that point. Fit right on that point. Now look at what Paul said. Turn to the book of Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Start at verse 22. Boy, you want this marked in your scriptures. Paul's on his way to Jerusalem, and he's meeting with the Ephesian elders. And the Ephesian elders are saying, boy, boy, don't you go. They're going to kill you. Don't you go. I mean, they're going to imprison you. They're going to beat you. Don't you go, Paul. And Paul said, no, I'm going. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. Paul said, here's what God told me. I got a rough road ahead. Bonds and afflictions abide me, but none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself so that I might finish my course with, what's the next little three-letter word? Joy. And the ministry which I've received of the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. Can I remind you, it's the second fruit of the Spirit. Number one is love. Number two is joy, Galatians 5. There is no such thing as a good Christian who doesn't love and have joy. Because God says, this is what my spirit produces. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, faith, hope. Have you got this joy? I was in a church in China, a home church, illegal. And we went through a lot of different meanderings to get there so we couldn't be followed. When we walked in, it was a Sunday night, much like this. There were about 60 people there. And the little girl who was going to sing came up to me. She was a teenage girl. Reminded me a great deal of this precious lady that played the piano here. And she said, I'm going to sing before you preach. Could I sing two songs tonight? Would that be okay? I said, sure, you can sing all you want. The pastor came up to me and he said, Brother Gibbs, let me tell you why she's asking. If we get caught going to church, they kill us. A year ago, they caught her dad and they killed him. They mutilated his body and dumped it on their lawn. 2 weeks ago, they caught her mom and brother, and they've killed both of them. And she knows that they're tracking her. She thinks this is going to be the last service she'll ever get to. They're going to kill her. That's why she wants to sing two songs. It's probably the last time she'll ever get to sing in church. Whoa. You know what the first saying she sang? The first song she sang? I got the joy, joy, joy down in my heart. How many of you know that song? Down in my heart to stay. I got the peace that passeth understanding. Down in my heart. I sat there and I thought, I wonder if that'd be my song. I wonder if that joy would be your song. Now please be careful here. Don't ever confuse happiness with joy. The world is mesmerized and in love with happiness. And because they love it, we've started loving it. Happiness has nothing to do with joy. Nothing. Happiness comes from the word happenstance. Happiness comes from the right circumstances. Give me the right circumstances and I'll be happy. Give me the wrong circumstances and I won't be happy. Joy doesn't do that. Joy comes from God, and it's the fruit of the Spirit. God says, I want you to be joyful, to be joyful. When we left church that night, and by the way, with just a few days, she died. They caught her and killed her. But all I could keep thinking, I got the joy. Joy, joy down in my heart. And she sang with a glow on her face. Mercy. How's your power? I got the power of God to love and to forgive and to give thanks and to have joy. Joy. Write the last one down. I got the power to stand. I got the power to stand. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Verses 13 and 14. People say, what do we do to get God's people to stand? Our job is not to stand in the flesh, but to stand in the Spirit. To be the people that God wants us to be. Having done all to stand, stand fast. Stand fast. Now in America, we've paid next to no price for being a Christian. In other lands, when you say stand, they say, that means I will probably die soon. And they stand. And praise God, I pray we never come to that in America. But I'm watching things happen I never dreamed would happen, preacher. And all of a sudden, the question is, are we a people who will stand? Stand fast. Two things are happening in America right now. They're trying to intimidate all of the Christians and to either shame us or threaten us. Now, Jesus never said that the world was going to love the Word of God. In fact, he says they're going to say it's foolishness. They don't want to see it as the only book God ever wrote. But God says, I'm commanding you to treat it as the Word of God and to stand. I ask you this simple question, hoping we never have to answer it. What would you be willing to die for? For the faith that people around the world are dying tonight for. What would we be willing to? Or are we just the people who want to use it? We just want to use it to get to heaven, and I want to live the good life here, and I sure don't want my faith to cause me any difficulty, any problems. And God says, I didn't call you to that. I called you to stand for me and to be my soldiers, good soldiers of the cross. That's what we're called to be. How would you take a stand? How would I? A pastor was in prison in Russia. And the wall came down. He was released from prison. And it happened to be a day when a pastor friend of mine, a pastor from here in Florida, was there. And he got to see this man. This man was kept in prison for 16 years. And all he had to do to get out was renounce the faith. Just say you've renounced it, it's not true. Just renounce it, publicly say it, and you're out of prison. And he said, I won't do that. They said, well, we know how to put pressure on you. You can't imagine. They physically tormented him terribly for years. Broke virtually every bone in his body. But he stood. He stood. Then they said, well, torture isn't going to work on you, so we're going to bring your two daughters in. We're going to make them pay for what your stand is. And can you imagine this? They said, if you will renounce it, you and your daughters go home, but if not, we're going to deafen your daughters. We're going to put hot pokers in their ears and deafen them. Whoa. I love what his daughters said to him because he had to watch it. They said, don't you give in. Stand. Don't give in. Stand. Would I? That's unimaginable to me. After they cruelly deafened him, he still wouldn't give in. Then they said, well, we're going to cut their tongues out. They'll never be able to say, I love you again. And they did that. The last words from their mouth was, don't give in, Dad. Stand true. Stand. In the meeting where this preacher was preaching, my pastor friend was sitting there, and right over here were two girls in their early 20s. And he walked up to them and said, is that your dad? And with sign language, they said, yes. And then they said, we're so proud of him. He stood. He stood. With others surrendering all around him, he stood. What would I do? What would you do? Now here's what I know. Dr. Bob Jones said a great statement years ago. The founder of Bob Jones University said, I've never seen a man or a woman made by a crisis. He said the crisis just exposes them for what they already are. You say, well, when this moment comes, then I'll have super strength. No, you won't. These decisions have to be made. We don't want to have a power outage. We want the power, by God's grace, to love and forgive and give thanks, to have real joy and to stand. But it comes with making a decision now. God, by your grace, I can't do these things. Man, I've asked myself in the closet of my mind hundreds of times, what would I have done in that prison cell? Well, here's what I do know. I want to stand. And I believe that's your heart too. God helping me, I pray it never comes here. There's nothing like that ever around here. But we have to stand. A wonderful commercial airline pilot is a member of a church in Colorado. And I was in their church talking with them, and I said, what's the scariest thing ever happened in your airplane? Oh, he says, I can tell you exactly. He said, we had just gotten these new series of aircraft, and they had what are called all-glass cockpits. All the mechanical gauges were gone. It's all glass, and it's all electric. And they were really incredibly neat. And he said, coming into Denver on a very stormy night, the plane is being buffeted badly by turbulence. He said, suddenly the cockpit lights disappeared. I lost every ability to know what that plane was doing. And it wasn't supposed to be possible. But a power outage that wasn't supposed to be able to happen, happened. He said, I couldn't see the ground. We're socked in storms. We're flying near the mountains. And now I've got a lack of power. I said, what'd you do? He said, number one, I prayed like fire. Oh, God, let me get this plane on the ground. And he said, by God's grace, we did get it down. But he said, by the time I recovered, he said, I had that plane almost on its side, and nobody, including me, knew it. Because centrifugal force was holding everybody, and I couldn't see anything. And he said, I realized how critical power was. He said, that happened on a Monday. Wednesday night, my pastor preached on lacking power. And he said, someday something's going to come your way where you're going to need God's power. And it will change everything. Tonight I ask you a simple question. Love, forgiveness, giving thanks, joy, standing. Do you want God's power? Stand tall. Once again, my prayer is that the things we've talked about tonight never befall America. But since I'm watching things I didn't ever think were going to befall America, we need to answer these questions. And when we go to these foreign lands, these precious Christians in other places where Christianity is illegal, always ask me this, will America stand? Will America stand true for the faith? We're worried about what we hear. Will God's people stand? And I said, I can't tell you what the government's going to do, but I can tell you what God's people are going to do. God's people are not going to have a power outage. God's people, by the power of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, are going to stand. Bow your heads in prayer. Father, thank you so much. We don't have to wonder what you want or guess. Your word tells us so clear. And Father, your word says we can't do this without you. But you give us divine power, by which we can love, by which we can have joy, by which we can give thanks for everything, by which we can stand. But God, forgive us if we're just trying to do this in our power. Heads are bowed. How many of you say, Brother Gibbs, God spoke to my heart tonight. God helping me, I want that power. My heart's been touched. If that's true, hold your hand up right now. Hold your hand high. God spoke to my heart. If you raised your hand, I want you to get out of your seat and make your way to this altar. We're going to close with a word of prayer. Don't hesitate. Don't delay. You come right now. I want you to step and come to this altar. God spoke to my heart, then you come. I didn't raise my hand, but I should have. You come too. Oh, I promise you, the power of God. Don't live with a lack of power. God never meant it. In fact, he said it's impossible. God wants us to be the ones that show the world how to stand. Show the world by love and joy and the peace and by God's grace, the ability to stand. Father, I bow with these precious hearts. Forgive me, forgive us, where we've tried the best in our power. And your word says it can't ever do it. Because we have your power, divine power, strengthened with all might according to your glorious power. That's what the Bible promises. God, hear the cry of every heart. I don't know what the challenges are here, but God, for us to forgive and to love and have joy and to know in our hearts, no matter what we face, we are going to stand. Your word gives us that surety. Father, bless these hearts, I pray. And Father, if they forget everything I've said, that's of no consequence. May we never forget what your word says. By the power of God, your word stands eternal. Hear our cry in Jesus' name. And all God's children together said, Amen.